And hello, everybody. It's Monday. It's Labor
Deceiver.
Day. For those of you in America, break out your hot dogs, break out your hamburgers, because America is all about fresh
America
food.
Is all about exploiting labor, and today's the day we celebrate it.
I actually have to say, out of all the holidays that America does celebrate, I enjoy the idea of Labor Day.
Yeah.
Not just because we get off, but because, it's about taking an L for, I'm sorry, not even an L, taking a W for a little bit. They say, you know, we've exploited you.
So we're going to give you
long
one
enough.
Day off.
You take these 24 hours.
And reevaluate your fucking
when
choices.
When you're done reevaluating and kind of resetting yourself and recentering
you
yourself.
Get back to work.
We want you fucking back here at 7 o'clock tomorrow, or else we will not pay you and you'll be on the street.
You hear me, you piece of shit?
Now, eat that hot dog and shut up. And that's why I kind of like
it.
No, it's actually not
fun.
Too bad. You know, in retrospect, it doesn't sound too terrible. But how has your weekend been, Rich?
It's been all right. I avenged quite a bit. I did some kickflips.
This would be really good. That would be a really good play on words if you just had not played the Avengers at all.
And then
it's been some avenging time. Like, it's like, what have you been playing? Oh, just Fall Guys.
So, what is this avenging thing? Eric, could you please not pry into my personal life on the podcast?
It's like, we will talk about this offline. Don't worry about it. But hello, everybody. Welcome to the Gecko's Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Eric Ortiz. Across the virtual table from me is the main man himself, Rich Marston.
How's it hanging?
Howdy. So, Rich, last week we were talking about, or at least I was going on my well-known tangent of how I do not have high hopes for Marvel's Avengers, but that is why I wanted you to tell me today about how wrong I may or may not be.
You're
and,
partially wrong.
You know, how do you feel about it? I like being partially wrong. I can admit to
so
that.
So I'll start with the, like, super high notes. I completed the campaign, and I think the campaign is really fucking good.
How long did it usually run you? 10 to 15-er?
I'd put it in more like an 8 to 10. That's okay. If you mainline it. There is plenty of time you could spend doing other stuff in between. Obviously, it's that kind of game.
And you had a blast?
I did have a blast. Kamala Khan is a fantastic choice for a protagonist. I think her character is handled super, super well.
I feel like it is truly a testament to the character too, because I remember when back in my comic stupor of collecting,
I remember those times
when they first introduced her. Actually, in any iteration where Kamala Khan has been introduced, she's always been the best part
of what's
whatever
happening.
She's been
yeah.
a part of. Yeah, whether it's her main line of comic, whether it was her time in New Warriors, which was okay, it was all right. But
the fact
that she was always there was just fun.
That's just it, because she's having fun, and she was, I think, the first character who was purely introduced into Marvel as being like, what would a kid who grew up in a world of superheroes who wanted to be just like them do with powers? Like, what would that person be? Which is why I actually found myself thinking the more I played of it, is we know on the PS4 version Spider-Man is going to be introduced eventually. I really hope they do a high school-aged Peter Parker. Because I think there's more fun to be played with that in this world than just introducing an adult Peter Parker who's been an Avenger on and off. Because that kind of leads me into another strong note, I think. I think a big concern people had going in was that whole off-brand Avengers thing, where they're like, they look kind of like the MCU characters, but not quite enough. I think that dispels really quickly in the first hour or two. You get used to it. It's established very quickly that this is a very different Marvel universe that has its own history. Like, these characters in this world, this particular world, have a history. They have all this sort of charm together, and they play off each other really well.
Well, I mean, I was even gathering that because they had MODOK in the freaking game.
Yeah.
It's just, out of all
of
the
villains,
you could ever pick
MODOK.
You could have, like, Baron Zemo, you could have anybody, but you have MODOK, which I love, by the way. You know, it's a great
weirdly
thing.
By the way, very light on villainy. This game.
Very light on the villainy? Not too
crazy?
Yeah,
here's the thing. MODOK and the Rise of AIM are the main villains. So if I could just give you the main setup hook of the game. In the opening hours, you were playing as a young, I want to say, like, middle school-aged Kamala Khan. And she is at an event in New York, in San Francisco, rather, called Avengers Day, which is, like, this, like, World's Fair type thing. The Avengers are there. And she's entered into this fanfic contest where the winner gets to meet the Avengers. And you're walking around the fairgrounds, and as the course of, like, looking around and taking all this stuff in, she inadvertently bumps into every Avenger along her way. Like, literally, my favorite is that they waste no time with it. The first one she bumps into is Thor, and it's literally, like, the God of Thunder is just, like, walking the fairgrounds.
Does nobody notice?
Oh, no, people do. Like, he literally zaps in with lightning because he's fucking Thor.
Oh, I was going to say, it's not, so it's not, like, one of those, I'm going to be low-key about sunglasses, hat, attire.
No, he's not wearing the classic MCU sunglasses and baseball cap.
He storms right in with Mjolnir and just goes, hey, what's happening?
Thor's, I think it might be his first line when you switch to him in combat, is, like, he's lifting a car off somebody, he goes, lucky for you, I am mighty. And I'm like, oh, this is regal Thor, I'm for it.
I like the Thor that feels like he doesn't need to hide all the time and he just doesn't give a shit.
Although he, there,
that's doing keg stands in the corner of Avengers.
One of the first skins you unlock for him in the game through the story when he comes back in the 5 years later is just him in boots, jeans, and a t-shirt, and he's wearing a name tag that says Donald Blake.
Ah, a true disguise. Like, so wait, does she also, so does she meet, say, Bruce Banner? I imagine he's not the
Bruce
Hulk.
Is the first
one. Unless she runs into him at the hot dog stand. It's just the
so
Hulk.
So she has a brief interaction with Thor and then Cap and Black Widow. She sees Bruce talking to George Tarleton, famed AIM scientist. But they don't have a real interaction until later. And then naturally, when this whole Avengers opening ceremony is happening, she's watching from, like, this VIP balcony because she's in that contest. And naturally, like, George Tarleton is giving this speech about all their advances and scientists, and Tony Stark shows up to steal his thunder, and he first lands on the balcony, and he's like, hey, kid, like, you know, one of the... Very the Tony Stark, the MCU established, of kind of a dick.
Does the scientist get pissed and then vow revenge against Tony Stark for being such a bitch?
Tarleton is the founder of AIM. So, basically...
No, but I'm saying, like, does he ever look at Tony's actions and go, I'll show you, and then redirect AIM's efforts to being a supervillain?
Like, they never, like, clearly make it that, but that's clearly what's happening.
It's like Iron Man 3 all over again.
And so basically what happens is this whole thing they're there to unveil for Avengers Day is this new bigger helicarrier called the Chimera that is powered by Tarleton and Bruce Banner's new discovery, Terrigen. Which, as someone who reads comics, you know what Terrigen is.
The Terrigen Mist?
Yes, Terrigen power is powering this thing. An explosion happens, Taskmaster shows up. You fight Taskmaster a few times in side content. I actually enjoy fighting him because he gets more difficult to fight if you're not constantly mixing up your combos.
Right, because he memorizes your...
So it's a cool idea. Basically... Things go south, the engine ends up exploding, and Cap is killed in this explosion, and Terrigen fills the San Francisco Bay and gives rise to the birth of Inhumans, which, for people unfamiliar with comics, Inhumans are similar to mutants, but they're kind of people with alien DNA that powers are awakened by this mist called Terrigen. Kamala Khan isn't Inhuman. She gets her power to change her mass at will through the Terrigen mist. And then it jumps to a 5 years later thing where AIM, basically, after Bruce Banner agrees to testify against the Avengers and say that they are a danger to society, George Tarleton's company AIM is able to seize up all assets from S.H.I.E.L.D. and Stark Industries and make AIM this powerhouse in the world. And they are trying to track down Inhumans to, quote-unquote, cure them. It becomes clear very quickly that that's not the case. And Kamala Khan is trying to join up with this group of sort of freedom fighter Inhumans. She ends up getting entangled with Bruce Banner along the way, and together they start working to sort of reassemble the Avengers. And, you know, there's a lot of cool dangling plot threads in that. Like, the Inhuman Resistance is actually led by Hank Pym.
That's pretty cool. I like how he's back.
Yeah, so there are two hubs in the world, much like what Destiny did. One hub is that helicarrier, the Chimera. And the other one is Hank Pym's base of operations, the Ant Hill in Utah.
The Ant Hill.
Yes, his underground base.
He just couldn't resist.
Hank
could have just called it the research
Hank
lab.
Has a sad story, and he talks about it pretty quickly, and so I don't feel like it's a spoiler. Which is why I think actually when they do, and they probably will eventually introduce Ant-Man into as a playable character in the game, I think it will be Scott Lang.
Probably. They're moving towards Scott Lang more so.
Because Hank says in the early years of this AIM stuff, he is captured by AIM. And they basically tell him it's not just in humans. Anyone with superhuman abilities is a threat. And they alter his physiology so if he changes his mass, he will die.
That's pretty interesting, actually.
So it makes it so he can no longer use Pym particles on himself. He can no longer shrink.
Right, so then, and then it justifies having another character there instead of wondering why isn't he Ant-Man.
Yeah, why isn't he putting on a suit?
Not a bad justification there. Now he lives his days on the anthill. Mm-hmm. Just reminiscing about the what was.
With it, poor his guy. Inhuman compatriots.
You know, I'm actually glad that Hank is in the game other than being known for hitting his wife. Because you know what? I always feel like that's what comics always drudge up. Remember 45 years ago or 50 years ago we hit his
the
wife?
The craziest
and now
part
he's a bad
is,
person?
I think they came out years later and were like, that wasn't what the panel was supposed to be depicting.
That wasn't. It was a misconstruance on
people
the artist's
so they
part.
Ran with it.
Yeah. And that, I have to say, every time I see Hank, I mean, Hank Pym, for those who don't know, he's been through the fucking ringer. The man's gone insane like 50 times. He's had like 7 costume changes while he was insane. Was a supervillain like twice. I don't know, made Ultron, so everyone shit all over
his
life.
One of the vendors is actually an AI created by Hank named Roy, who, it's actually kind of hilarious. I don't know if it was supposed to be a Destiny joke. Like, there's this robot just sweeping in one spot at one point. And you find out all these synthoids walking around the anthill are all just Roy, and his consciousness just jumps between them. And he's actually one of the gear vendors, and because of that, he's the only vendor that is both on the Chimera and at the anthill, because his consciousness jump between the robots.
That's pretty funny. That's a cool little justification for that, too. That's not bad. So it sounds like they built up a world, but forget the story. I want to know, how's the combat? Because it looked like a Smash Fest.
It's kind of a Smash Fest, but I think it's fun. Especially because I think all the characters are different enough. And as you get those skill trees going up, it becomes less of a Smash Fest. Once you really get an understanding of how to use combos effectively. Like, for example, Black Widow is all about like quick light melee attacks. And she has a grappling hook, so she can dive out quick and pull herself back in. She has the pistols for range. Cap is all about, like, a mix of light and heavy attacks, and also, like, ricocheting the shield off things. I have the shield upgraded to a point now, so I think I can hit 4 targets with it. And then if I slam R2 just as it hits the last target, I kick it back for a 5th hit. So you can do some kind of serious damage with that. Hulk is a lot of fun. And he really is a Smash Fest. Like, his secondary ability is Gamma Infusion. He has a bar under his health that's Gamma Energy. And while it's full, you can hold R2 down, and he takes no damage, does increase damage, and has no reaction to attacks. Like, he can't be interrupted. But it drains pretty fucking quick.
So everybody has their own little things going
on. Yeah, exactly. There's systems built around it, whereas, like, Iron Man is very much built for range, and then he switches between... Essentially, use the directional button to swap what his heavy attack's going to be, either repulsors, lasers, or rockets. And they all behave very differently.
Okay. So it has some diversity there, and you can change up the styles. You beat the game,
yes.
So that's pretty much it. No, what the hell do you do? Do you just do Destiny like stuff?
You do
Destiny
stuff like that. Every character has dailies of their own, as well as dailies you can pick up from factions. There's only 2 factions in the game right now. I imagine that'll change as more stuff is dropped. There is Shield is one of the factions you're grinding out XP with, and the other one is Pym Technologies, which is like the Inhuman group. And beyond that, like. It is that Destiny loop of you have a power level, which is basically your gear score. and you're trying to get that up. You're trying to do the character dailies to... Basically, think of it this way. There are two weeklies and two dailies for each character. And completing those gives you points that add up on that sort of season pass we talked about last week. Like, that character-specific season pass. And that's how you'll, like, unlock skins and stuff like that. And you'll unlock some of that premium currency. I actually did, and this is a testament to it. It was a hell of a grind, like, me playing a lot of the game to get it. But I got enough premium currency to buy one of the premium skins. Like, just grinding it out in the game. And I bought the only one that mattered. I bought Gladiator Hulk. Because what else does one need?
So you bought Gladiator Hulk?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, as long as you enjoy it, who cares? The things that I had read about the game itself, it kind of always just kept justifying to me that this is going to be a game I'll most likely want to get a couple of months
There's
down the line.
There's stuff to fix. I think the progression is going to change a lot because I don't think doing this stuff right now is unfun. It's just a really annoying grind.
Yeah. And I don't know. I had read a couple of reviews too, both across, like, say, The Verge or maybe Club or a couple of others. And it seems like, at least when it was first coming out too, that, you know, Destiny started the same way with the first game. When Destiny first came out from Bungie, I was not interested really at all as to how it was at the time because there was a lot of things that I had to fix.
Yeah.
And also, there just didn't seem to be a lot there post-game. Which is why, at least with a game like this, or at least any other games that have similar structures like this now, I'm very, very cautious at first to just see what they're offering. And then just, if it's not much, chances are that probably like a half year down the line, this is going to have a good amount of content, or maybe a half year to a year. This will end up being a game that will have enough to just keep you going for hours and hours and hours. And then I could justify at least buying it then. But for right now, I have a feeling I'll blow through the campaign, which will be good. From what I've at least heard everybody's talking about, the campaign was really good. And I'll just be bored of it, and I'll probably shelf it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I'll just give it a little bit. And then they'll have more heroes that are free, more mission branches there. And I don't know. I feel like I'll just get more of a complete package to justify the price of it all.
I think that's 100% fair. The thing that is most alarming about the grind and why I think the grind feels so intense when even compared to something like a Destiny is it's not a Destiny and like, all right, here's my character and I'm grinding. It's like, I did the dailies for Cap. Now I need to grind with Iron Man, who has a different power level and different gear and different, like, that's the part that feels exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then you're just repeating the same stuff just for other people. And one thing that I had read, and more at least what I'd seen, was that when you get to a certain point in the game, it really is, and this is just this isn't really the fault of this game specifically, it's just like any other game like Destiny. It just becomes a matter of doing the same things over and over again.
To get a high enough power level
your currencies,
to do the new thing.
Yeah. Numbers go high.
Yes.
Big numbers get bigger. Like, that's the whole point of the entire thing. And I even remember, and I played Destiny a lot, mind you. It doesn't mean that it's not fun. Taken King was actually, for that 2 months that, when I was just like in between jobs and just playing this game on the daily, that was a very enjoyable time, but I'm not going to mistake it. There was some kind of shut your brain off moments where I didn't need to even care too much about the minutia of the stats, which is why I'm telling that whenever we, a couple of episodes back, we're talking about how there just looked to be like, say, seven different currencies. It didn't matter really because you're just trying to make the big numbers get bigger. And
that's the thing.
I'm not really going to focus too much on the minutia.
That's the number one tip I'll give anyone starting out. You can upgrade pieces of gear, like everything has an upgrade track, and you can make that number bigger. Don't do it. There's no reason to waste your resources on that until you have a piece of gear you know you're going to keep. Unless you're looking for a
very
specific
perk. And that's just true for any other game like that.
There is still some what I would call story content that I have to grind to, because every character also has this iconic mission chain, which feels like as good as the story in terms of its writing.
It's kind of just like their story path.
Yeah, like I finished Bruce's, which is he, you know, you pick up very early on, which he learns about a sect of AIM scientists who have stolen his gamma research and are trying to continue it to recreate the experiment that created him. And that, in the most obvious fashion ever, that mission chain ends with you fighting Abomination.
Yeah, I figured, yeah. And you kind of see it coming a mile
likewise, away. There's a post-game shield mission where you're helping Maria Hill track down all this stolen shield tech, and that leads to you fighting Taskmaster. It's a lot of stuff like that.
We did it, Hulk. We replicated science and technology.
I just reminded myself of this because it made me laugh so hard when I was fighting Abomination. I have got to give credit to Square and Crystal Dynamics for coming up with clever status effects for an Avengers game.
Like, what do you mean?
So certain abilities and gear will give, like, a chance to inflict status effects. And there's some mm-hmm. obvious ones, like, you have pieces of gears that can inflict gamma radiation damage. That'll do, like, damage over time stuff. My favorite one is PIM particle fallout. Some pieces of gear emit PIM particles, and they roll a chance for you to shrink an enemy temporarily.
How small do they get?
It depends on what they are. Like, normal thugs will get very tiny. When I used it on Abomination, he shrunk down to the size of the Hulk, which he's about three times the size of.
Because he's gigantic. That's pretty funny. I actually like that. That's a cool little creative way. That's why I usually like the superhero verse for a lot of these types of games, because you can just get as zany as you want without it being stupid.
Yeah,
because it's just implied. I mean, yeah, it's
like
dumb.
That's like, okay. Again, it looks hilarious at the time. Like, you'll see these big sort of mech aliens that look like the loader from Alien, and when they get shrunk, they're just like shorter than Cap. There was a weird sizing thing that I noticed that kind of bugged me in a mission I was literally running right before we got on this call. I was running for gear for Cap, and I was doing that Taskmaster mission I was talking to you about. Taskmaster in this game, his character model is like so much taller than Cap, and it bugs me.
He's supposed to be like usually just this normal size dude.
He's a former Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, it's to the point where like Cap is not supposed to be a tiny guy. So are you implying that Taskmaster is 7 feet tall?
I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be. I always love reading a piece of just any media whatsoever, and you just get some comparisons to the bad guys, and they end up being gigantic.
Oh, and.
And that's always.
I also did want to note, I think some of the best original skins in the game come from doing the campaign. Towards the end of the campaign, every character gets Stark Tech gear, which is sort of like a mix of their gear with Iron Man armor. And pretty much all of them look awesome across the board. I think Cap's looks particularly awesome. Even like Hulk getting basically just purple Iron Man legs and gauntlets. Is a cool look.
And now he goes, I'm Iron
Man. I am Iron Hulk.
I am Iron Man now. I'm glad to hear it's at least good. I think that at least when it came to the game being marketed, or
the marketing
was
terrible.
Sold, they really fucked up. These guys like fucked up so hard.
It's insane
because
to me.
You had that beta and everybody and their grandma from the beta was like, no, this game, there's no way, let it go. It's not that great. It's really just utterly mediocre.
Which
and then post release,
yeah.
I was so, and I kind of had a feeling about it, but of course, as the saying goes, it'll end up being good in the end, or something will resolve itself. It ends up being pretty good, and a lot of people are like, hey, you know, this actually isn't that bad. And people from the media were reporting, yeah, the campaign's pretty good, but the damage has already been done.
Dude, the image,
like,
of this.
Even yeah. for myself, the image of the game, I can't put the genie back in the bottle with this. I'm not gonna just
no,
look
it's
at
too
it.
Late for that.
And you may just say, well, just look at it from objectively and say, hey, now it's good. You should buy it. Sure,
not
but
just yet. Yeah.
I kind of already know what's under the hood
and
a little
I think
bit
it's
here. I know what
reasonable
the game
to wait
would
for
potentially become in the long term, and it's not that great.
I think it's reasonable to be like, I'm gonna wait for more at this point. Especially what would them say.
It's a no-brainer. If you're not going to buy it immediately, which you'll know if you did because you've already done it, which is fine, or you know you're going to buy it, I would just suggest waiting. Because if you just wait for that first big expansion kind of collection, a la Taken King, like for Destiny, you'll probably have a really great time, and they'll probably add a lot of different things where you'll be playing it and thinking, wow, there's a lot of stuff here that it's just fun. And I have a feeling that long-term, that's what it'll become. Just for right now, it's a decent game, and that's actually good to hear. I'm surprised and at least happy to hear that it wasn't a clusterfuck like I initially thought it would be. Because it just didn't look that great. How does it actually look, too? How's the overall graphics?
Oh,
that's
I think
the one thing, too, that just looked like a potato every time
solid.
I looked at
the character models all look great. On occasion, there's some weird environment stuff. But for the most part, I think it looks good. I think it's going to look better when that free PS5 upgrade comes. Because here's the trouble I had with it most. This is the first game for me, and I know some people have said it on... My Pro sounded like a fucking jet engine running this thing. And on a...
Did it for The Last of Us, too, for yourself?
No. And a lot of people were saying that, but it sounded fine for me.
Yeah, that's... I always got confused about that. Never happened. But yeah. So I wonder if this one would make it sound like it's just
my
wheezing.
My Pro sounded like it was about to take flight every time I play this fucking game.
Just ejects wings out, and it goes...
And also on occasion, and this was a weird thing, like, a cutscene would start, and it would have a really hard time keeping up with it, and I would just pause it and give it a minute, and then let the cutscene run.
Jesus Christ. That's so surprising, just what... Maybe it's just because it's trying to generate everything.
Yeah, I think it might just... be, like, I could see some performance patches in this game's future.
God damn. I've read that the PC port also, it just has had some bugs. But, you know what? I'm glad it's good. I don't want to talk about it for the entire thing, but I'm just glad it's good.
Because we played other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. speaking of, really quickly, even before going on the other things, because it's just fresh in my mind, there was that topic of, you know, which games are going to have their free upgrades into the next gen consoles, because already we already know that with control they were just like, go fuck yourself. Like,
oh, speaking yourself, of really weird arbitrary things, and we'll get into it later, I just wanted to say at the top of the show, this podcast, this episode will be delisted on March 31st.
What do you mean?
Do you not get that joke?
We'll be delisted.
We're gonna remove this episode from the feed on March 31st.
I don't understand. Tell me.
It was a joke. It was a joke about Mario.
I hate you. I hate you. I knew I was having such a dumb moment too. I was like, this is something I know about, but I'm not sure. And I was thinking D-list, like D-list heroes, like Avengers.
Yeah. I'm Ant-Man. I am Ant-Man 3.
I am. You like that joke better?
I am Eric O'Grady, Ant-Man 3.
Oh, wow. If they actually put Eric O'Grady in there...
You have a fun mission where you get to spy on Captain Marvel in the shower.
Wow. Just like the real comic books. Fuck Mario. No, but I was actually... at least when it came to the next-gen stuff, more recently, everybody knows that or at least you do know now, the devs of Control were like, hey, we're going to come out with a complete edition of our game, which did release, and they were like, hey, if you buy it, you could get an upgrade to the game for next-gen consoles.
Like, what about the original
instead
game?
Of all the previous owners. Yeah, they're like, hey, guys, but what about us, the original people? And they're like, fuck you. And that was
you
the end of it.
And,
yeah, you could buy the game again, and who cares? You already played our game. Did not go well with a lot of people. And it did get me thinking, you know, should devs do that a lot? And... at first, I was thinking maybe it was difficult. I was trying to give every... like I always do. I never give businesses the benefit of the doubt. They could suck it. But I always just try to think, you know, maybe it takes some resources to port it over so it's not so easy. But you know what? Avengers is doing it. And yeah, you can say that it's a recent game. But, you know, CD Projekt Red also just came out recently. Within the past week. They were saying, hey, you know, if you own The Witcher 3... like, at all, gen consoles, we'll just upgrade you for free. We don't even give a shit. And it was then where I started scratching my head just a little bit, and I'm like, well, maybe it's actually not that hard to do, and maybe all the businesses are just trying to double dip, and that's just how it's going to be.
My feeling is, based on conversations I've had with people, is on this new architecture, as far as what people can tell, the upgrading process has been made a lot easier. And that's going on the fact that, like, there's less and less proprietary parts, even last gen and this gen. Like, the sort of, like, upgrading to a next-gen port used to be a lot harder than it is. Not saying there's no work involved. I'm sure there's still work. And I imagine it's, like, the thing to do of, hey, that's kind of the nice guy move. Like, we were upgrading it anyway so we could sell it on an upgraded version on the new storefront, so.
Yeah, and after that, I was just thinking, well, you know what? Yeah, fuck all of them. Like, you could just do it. So now I'm on the consumer side.
You'll never get a cent out of me.
For real. Because with the Cyberpunk, you already know that... it's already releasing into next gen. It makes sense for them to do that. They can't not do that. It'd be the dumbest thing in the history of dumbest things. And it really would. But Yeah, I was just always wondering now, like, it does make the dev team of Control look even more, or the publishing team, rather, I should say, even more heinous. Just terrible, terrible things. But that's pretty cool, though. I'm glad that at least your Avengers did it, too. Crystal Dynamics could have Square Enix could have just been like,
no,
go fuck yourself. Go buy our game as a service again, please.
But I bought it last year, I'm sure you did. That'll be $60.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's like, no, but I got the receipt right here, and they just take it, and they go, yo, could I just see it? And you're like, what are you going to do with it? And they go, I just want to see it. And they just rip it up immediately. Or they just eat it. And they go, well, no, where's the receipt now? You don't have one. Now pay us $60 right now, and then they'll punch you right in the gut. Just like, this isn't fun
anymore. I hate this.
Video games suck. And this will segue into the story. I've been playing Super Mario All-Stars, the Super Nintendo version. The Super Nintendo version, you may say. Why, is there any other version? Why, yes, there is. Nintendo, in their recent Mario Direct for their 35th anniversary of Mario. Because if you didn't feel old, there you go. They announced that they're going to have the Super Mario 3D All-Stars game, which will have Mario 64, Mario Sunshine, and Mario Galaxy. Now, why they didn't include Mario Galaxy 2, who's to say? Who's to say why they didn't include the better version of their game? But,
idiots. You know,
they came out with it. Nintendo finally showed the trailer, and they said, shut the fuck up.
It's out
never
like next
say
week.
That we didn't do anything for you guys ever again. Just please shut the fuck up. And they slapped a $60 price tag on it, which everybody knew would happen anyways. Yeah. And as you can tell from my lack of understanding, Rich's poorly placed joke, they will actually delist it on March 31st of next year.
It goes back into the
delist,
Disney
meaning
Vault.
They're taking it off the digital eShop. They're taking it out of the physical. Like, they're just discontinuing
and on March 31st,
it and throwing it back into their
Super
vault.
Super Mario 3D All-Stars makes its way back into the Disney Vault.
Yeah. This, I actually think, I can't recall out of memory unless Nintendo has done this before.
Not that I'm aware
of. I don't recall another company doing this.
It's a very Nintendo move.
It's a very, very Nintendo move. And as you can imagine, the internet erupted. They were saying, what the fuck? How could you be doing this to us? What's the matter with you? And then at the same time, they were like, I'm going to pre-order this right now.
Literally me being like, that's fucked up as I click the pre-order button.
Yeah.
As I'm like,
and
add to cart.
I'll call a spade a spade. I was in the camp where I was like, that's weird. But
I'm still
going
to get it.
Because, I mean, this is very much so a game that I also bought physically.
Same.
Just because, I don't know, I usually bought games digitally for the Switch, it was better, and I've been buying games digitally on my consoles, but this just, now that it's just getting delisted, it seems like it holds more weight to just actually have it physically, because this is the kind of dystopian nightmare I've been worried about that Valve was going to do one day with my Steam library, where they just go, sucks to suck, and
it's,
just take it all away.
It's one of those weird fucking things where it's like, all right, I would totally get if they're like, hey, we're only printing a certain number of them physically, because that actually does take resources and all this shit. So be like, you'll be able to get it physically, like, we'll be producing it physically into March 31st. But to be like, we're going to remove it from the digital store on March 31st, just, why? Why?
The answer that everybody knows already is that they're doing the Disney method of their artificial scarcity. They're like, yo, we have money, don't worry, we know we do, but we're just going to put it back so that you buy more Switches right the fuck now.
Yeah.
And I know that there were rumors this year at least swirling around with the updated Switch model, not the one that has the better battery life and processing speed, fuck all that, I mean like a tried and true upgraded model. I think the rumors were, what, a 4K model?
Yeah,
maybe?
Something like that.
Which, to me, seems a little bit benign because you're playing Nintendo games.
Yeah, I don't
games.
Really need Breath of the Wild to be in 4K. Also, no. It sounds like that.
I mean,
get
I'm
hot.
Sure people are going to post GIFs and go, it's beautiful, but I don't think I need to pay another $100 or so just to see the same shit. Which I guess it could be argued because now you have other games like Doom and a plethora of other indies, but still, you don't need to see 4K on those.
So, if you get too hot, it would burn my little
so
hands.
So, at first, I was thinking Nintendo's just creating the artificial scarcity to sell the shit off the shelves. And then maybe when they release their newer model, it'll come pre-built into it like a bundle. They'll say, hey guys, remember when we said it wasn't coming back? We lied. Only available in these bundles. And then they'll sell them, which makes more sense because, god damn it, that's just genius. And
I sit on a throne.
But at
of
the
lies.
Same time, I still think that's just strange. It's just a strange thing to see from the outside looking in. Because again, it's just to sell more models and more items off the shelves as fast as you can. But what the fuck? Because now these guys are setting the price. Again, when Nintendo does their stupid ass business practices like this, it opens the door for just about everybody else to just say, "You could do that." They just look in. They're like, "Oh fuck, you could pull? Like, are you serious?" And it's true. You can't just sell a physical model of a game anymore and just let all bugs and everything be as is for the rest of time. It's like you can actively just say, "Nah,
we're done here."
Nah. Like, you can't download this anymore. When you try to access your digital content, it goes, nah. Or if you try to put in your physical disc, it'll read it and go, nah.
Well,
I don't
to be fair,
so.
I mean, they are. If you own the license, you'll be able to download it.
For sure. No, for sure. It's just to sell more, which is fine. But as you can imagine, people are taken to the streets and protesting this shit. They're like, "You're not even doing anything to these games. How dare you sell me it for
$60. And then they tried to talk us down.
And I will
down.
Say what I have always been saying. Shut up and buy it, because that's what you're going to do anyway, and just shut the fuck up.
And then they
up.
Tried to talk us down. They were like, "Look at these cat amiibo."
And for what it's worth, I agree with the general public here. I think it's stupid.
Yeah.
I think it's just something that, as a business,
I've pre-ordered three copies.
You're kind of hurting. You're hurting the consumers a bit, because they're always just going to think, dicks. But people are going to buy it. Nobody's going to learn. I mean, that is what it is. Nintendo's going
to
keep Nintendo.
I need to be able to play Super Mario Sunshine in the bathtub, Eric. What?
That's what I think they're going to do. What we were talking about last time. I think that's what they're going to do with Pikmin. I think Pikmin Deluxe, I'm pretty sure it'll be $60.
Probably.
Or maybe 40, I actually forget. But you could bet your ass they're going to take Pikmin 1 and 2, bundle those two together, and just charge you full price for it.
Hell yeah, they are.
Just be like, "Yeah, you remember this?" And with 64 and the other ones, they did up the graphics a little bit.
You have to.
More. They made it cleaner. Yeah, I could. Yeah.
It's going
to
look like
to.
Shit if you don't.
What the fuck? Yeah. But, yeah, it was just very Nintendo. So, if you're like me, you probably already bought it. Who cares? It's going to happen.
You hear that
but
Delfino Plaza music in your head. What could you do?
I did. But goddamn, that sucks. I just hope that other developers aren't going to look at this shit and just
meanwhile,
be like,
at Sega headquarters.
Yeah, Sega's like, we gotta release Sonic.
But for like
now.
40 minutes.
Yeah, but for only like maybe 40, and that's it. And just let it be, and people would do it anyways. So, eventually, but I guess you're getting the three games for it too.
It's a lot of games.
If they did this with six, keep in mind, if they had done this just with 64, they can go fuck themselves. They can absolutely go fuck themselves. They're so lucky they bundled this shit, and they knew it too, because people would not do this.
If they did it with just 64 and it was, say, $20, but it wouldn't have been.
No, fuck. Even if they did, yeah, people would buy it. I'd buy it. Genuinely, they would release 64. I have a feeling they clean it up, slap a $40 price tag on it, it would still sell again.
Yeah, absolutely.
People would still buy that. Cause that's just the nostalgia right there. But I don't know what the answer would be, because you could say vote for your wallet, but think of Disney. They're literally calling it the Disney Vault comparison, because that's what
they
it
got,
is. Nintendo has, it's like the Disney,
got Disney
of
Vault
their
trending
own brand.
On Twitter.
Cause it's, yeah. And all of a sudden everybody's an armchair, consumer marketing expert talking about vaults. And I'm like, you don't even fucking know what the Disney Vault is.
I got the basic idea.
It's just scarcity. And I'm actually glad to see that, because people are now learning about it. It's not going to change anything if you just blindly buy it, though. And I'm not helping it either.
And I refuse to help it, because
I mean,
I need to play.
There's been some heinous shit in the past before. It's not like this is the first. Yeah, and Sunshine. I like Sunshine. I do. I'm glad it's there, because I feel like Sunshine should not be left out of Mario's history. But goddamn, I really wish they just threw like Galaxy 2 on there.
It should be there. It's better than Galaxy
1. Nintendo was like, "Don't worry, guys. We're also going to come out with Super Mario 3D World," which was a Wii U title.
And they are putting an expansion with that. There's
yeah, Bowser's Furry.
Bowser's Furry Fur Fest.
Yeah, Bowser's Fur Fest coming out.
Bowser's Yuffie.
He's dressing like a cat.
Well, he already does that in the game.
And yeah, but now he's pissed. It's Bowser's Fury.
He's a sassy cat.
It actually, as they keep trying to port over these Wii U titles, That's pretty cool. I'm actually liking to see that because we really didn't have its chance to breathe.
Totally.
So I'm glad that you just see more of them. But that was it. That's the Mario 35th anniversary. But what did they do? They also said, hey, guys.
Fuck you.
Because we're not complete pieces of shit, we're going to give you the Super Mario All-Star Super Nintendo game on the Switch Online service. And I was cool with that. Cool. So I started playing that. And I did not... it was a humbling experience, to say the least. I was playing Super Mario All-Stars last night for maybe about 7 to 8 hours. Trying to beat Super Mario Brothers, just one game, and I just didn't finish it yet. I went to bed disappointed, angry, and I was depressed, and I just went, how can I even stand here and tell people, yeah, you know, I'm pretty good at platforming games, when I can't even beat the fucking godfather of them? It's like Vito Corleone just fucking punched me right in the gut.
Terrible. Like Donkey Kong came in and just took a big crap on your bed.
It truly, because with Donkey Kong, I know I'm good at Donkey Kong. I could play Donkey Kong Country. I could play all three games and just run circles around that shit because I've played it. I'm born and bred. When it came to Mario, though, it was terrible. It was hard. I was slipping around like Mario was fucking ice skating because the physics were shot. I got to World 8. I was playing with Vinny last night because we were playing two-player. First of all, low-key, the Switch services with the Super Nintendo and the Nintendo, at first when they announced the emulation for those, I was thinking, who fucking cares? Like, just emulate and get some ROMs. The online services that it has for those is actually pretty cool. How you could just watch each other play games, or you could play the two-player capability with them. I kind of was not aware of those, and I didn't utilize those fully over time. So we were just playing in a competition to see who could be Super Mario Brothers first. We both got stuck in like 2 a.m. on World 8, and I was just exhausted, and I just went, I have to stop. So now it still remains unbeaten. My spirits are still crushed.
That's because you're a coward.
When I walk by my Switch, I still smell the sweet aroma of Italian pizzeria. Because I just know that it's waiting for me, and I just can't do it.
Garlic aioli, Eric. Garlic aioli.
And that's not even the Lost Levels, Rich.
Oh, Lost Levels is actually hard.
I didn't even know those were hard. I thought they were just... I thought Nintendo just said, hey, like, these were just rejected levels that we just didn't decide to put in. Here's a fun game. Apparently, they're purposely
the
hard.
Lost Levels is just the real Mario 2.
Well, I thought that the real Mario 2 was kind of an easygoing time. Apparently, it's harder.
Yeah, that's why we didn't get it in the U.S. They thought it was too hard for an American audience.
Which I think is kind of interesting, because when we were playing... When I was playing Nintendo yesterday, I didn't fault Super Mario Brothers for being fucking balls-to-the-wall difficult, because Nintendo made games that were purposely difficult back in the day just to make the game's shelf life last longer. Like with Contra, or Castlevania, or any other game that was just really fucking
difficult
at the
time.
And then
they did too good of a job, and so they created the Nintendo Helpline so they could keep selling games.
Imagine being employed by the Nintendo Helpline as like a fucking teenager, and they're like, you're going to have to
that
know
is,
our entire library of 400.
Actually, that is what I think the most interesting episode of that docuseries we talked about, High Score, is about.
Yeah.
Is them talking to somebody who worked for that company when they were like 16.
Unbelievable. I would sooner just leave. Because imagine you're starting out, it's like 10 games. You're like, well, that's easy. It's some Donkey Kong. You fuck it with the... And you're like, yeah, we got more now. We got more SKUs on the shelf now. There's 400 or 1,000.
He talks about having to take a quiz about, like, Zelda to get the job.
Who is the big baddie of Zelda? Is it Link?
It's
is it Ganon? And it turns out to be a philosophical question. It turns out Link is the true enemy all along. Just
the
like how Mario is really
the
real
player.
Bastard. Yeah. That's not even on the multiple choice.
You have to write it in.
They just go, if you were supposed to write that down, and they still just say you're fired. You didn't even have a chance. But the game's really difficult. I actually give a lot of people props for even beating these games, because I was just playing Mario All-Stars thinking, I'll just prep up for until I play the originals, because I really hadn't played, or rather I should even say beaten, the original Super Mario Brothers. And I didn't even know that in All-Stars, they for the original Super Mario Brothers, they kind of slap a new coat of paint on it. They make the art palette match more of the Super Mario Brothers 2 palette. So things are kind of upgraded.
Spruce that shit up.
And they look better. And I don't know if it's easier compared to the original.
I don't think
it is.
The physics are altered or anything like that, if that's what you're
saying. I don't think they changed a damn thing. I think they just changed the art palettes on it, and they just made things look cleaner, which is nice. But yeah, what a fucking... It's such a hard game, man. I would... It broke me. It really did. And I didn't even get to Super Mario Brothers 3. So I can Tanuki it up.
It's Tanuki time. You want to run from the angry sun.
So, yeah. And that's just been the time of my life. That's how I spent all day yesterday for the evening. My anxiety was at a peak because I was thinking, if I can't even beat this, how the fuck can I even face myself next time I look at myself? King of platformers? Nah.
You sit on the throne of lies, Eric.
I mean, that's just the way it was. And, yeah, that was it. But I see you've played Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
One.
I'm going to buy it tonight. I can't resist it anymore.
This is a really good fucking remaster, Eric.
I know. I've been reading. I saw Jeff Gertzman said this is an amazing game. And I've been following Jeff Gertzman for quite some time. Yeah. I don't actually remember the last time he said something was amazing.
Jeff loves the Tony Hawk games. So they did a good job with these. So it's no surprise that he's kind of in love with it. It's so fucking good. Downhill Jam is still the worst level in Tony Hawk history. That hasn't changed.
Yeah, I saw videos of that, and I said, well, I had PTSD for a moment. I was like, oh, shit,
I am almost done with one. I dabbled a little bit into the levels of two because I was getting antsy. But it feels like one cohesive experience. You just kind of, if you're doing single player, you pick the career mode you want. Our friend Vinny and I, not the Vinny you were talking about, a different Vinny. God, this podcast has too many Vinnies featured. We're playing a...
My cousin
We're playing
Vinny.
A bunch of the multiplayer the other night, which is super fun, easy to drop into. We played a bunch of graffiti mode. I don't know if you remember that from back in the day.
I don't, actually. Oh, wait, no, yes, I do.
That's the one where you do tricks off obstacles, and they change to your color. And if somebody does a higher combo off it, it changes to their color. Unfortunately, we got Downhill Jam as the level, so it was terrible. But, man, it just feels so fucking good. And, just going for those goals. When I fired it up and did the warehouse level, the very first level of the game, I managed to get every goal on my first run, and I was just like, okay, good. I've still fucking got this. I can still do this. And then I was wondering why certain goals were starting to feel, like, particularly difficult for me, like certain combos. And then I remembered that I completely fucking forgot there are stats in those games. And you're picking up stat points, and you could upgrade shit.
Yeah, they are. There are.
Now I'm a grinding machine.
The game just looks great.
You
want to know what it was, too? I heard, even though it's not even a part of it, I was listening to Amoeba by The Adolescents, which was in 3. And it just... I was going to resist it at least until maybe another week or so, because I just want to beat some other... I can't.
It's so good, man.
I've been hearing that's so much fun. People are just burning right through, and I feel like I will, too.
So fucking fun.
And you know what? It took me back to Underground. It took me back to being a kid playing Underground on the GameCube. And, just doing a fucking kickflip in front of Eric Sparrow and telling him to eat shit. And I was like, man, I want to do that.
That piece
like,
of garbage.
Do another kickflip.
You know what's crazy is when I started 2, the level that, to my memory, looks like it's been overhauled the most is the aircraft hangar, the first level of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. Because that level is notoriously, like, famous for looking very similar to the first level of 1, the warehouse, but bigger. They completely changed the aesthetic of it to make it look, like, very different. There's also weirdly ads for other Tony Hawk games, like, posted up there. Like, there's an ad for, like, Underground and American Wasteland on the wall.
Billboard ads and all that? I love that. I always love when Neversoft usually had their billboards on there. That was always so cool. I was like, hey, I'm playing that.
But, goddamn, it's still so fucking
good. I want them, with everything that I've heard that was great about it, I was thinking, so when are we getting 3 and 4?
I think maybe the time has come to, like, be like, okay, now we know kind of this older experience, but polished up, is what people are looking for. Maybe it's time for Pro Skater 6.
Yep. And it's actually, it would come for a perfect time, too, because you know what? You're already going to get another skate that was already announced. So... if you want, you can have your next-gen kind of skating experience.
And then you can have your arcade-y skating experience, which I like skating.
And I was even just thinking how much I love... Oh, no, it's a completely different thing. I even admittedly tried it. I think I tried Skate 2. I wasn't really into it. And it's just because, you know what? When it comes to playing these types of games, I am such a big fan of these arcade-y, just score as much points as you can... sports games and just turning your brain off for a moment. There are the type of video games which everybody thinks all video games are, where you just turn your brain off and you just do whatever. No, there are a lot of in-depth video games, a good portion of them, but it is, there are these types of games, like say Dave Mir is a fucking BMX challenger. Back in the day, just playing sports games like these, they were so appealing because I could just sit down, just get lost in it, and just keep training combos, turn your brain off,
combo,
just do all these,
listen to the music,
great tricks,
just take it all in,
just vibe out, and it was great.
I think it's important probably to touch on like the new stuff that like makes it feel a little bit better. There's a lot of stuff in here, and you can actually turn this stuff off, so you have like what the experience was at the time. There's a lot of tricks that weren't available in those first two games originally, and I think the two biggest things in terms of like flow and feel that make it easier to do combos that they added are, first off, you can switch your footing while like mid grind, so you can, you know, switch from a nose grind to a back, like a tail grind, mid grind. You can switch to a board slide, that kind of stuff. Those transfers, and they added reverting, so you can kind of shift over a ramp without having to really like launch yourself, and it feels better. Like these are things that were less advantageous and more quality of life stuff that came later.
And guess what? Not for nothing. It's only $40. Yeah. These are the types of remakes and redos that I do appreciate. And it really does suck sometimes, because when you look at the Nintendo model of doing things, they will just direct port, clean it up a bit, and then call it a day. I have to say, looking at other devs that do this, like say Tony Hawk team who did this, or if you looked at the Crash team or the Spyro team, they made, like, they're really defining what remakes are and justifying what would get my money. Or even say with Resident Evil 2 with the remakes of those games. There's such a time right now that's just defining good remakes, good remasters, and just ports.
Of going, this was worth doing the work and revisiting and taking things we've learned in the years since this came out and changing it for the better.
For sure. And it's not to say, again, it's almost ironic because, you know, we bought these things. I bought fucking Mario.
Well, Mario's
like,
perfect. We don't need to change
it. But it's just funny. It's kind of, I should say it's more just an aha moment where you're thinking, now you're starting to understand that things are just getting straight up ported compared to this is going to be kind of a remaster. You're starting to visibly identify with what is actually going to, how much work has been done into each one of these things. And that kind of, it should inform your purchases. Not that it matters to me because I'll just eat up everything, but goddamn, Tony Hawk just looks like such
it's
a fun
so
fucking time. The soundtrack's just there. They even put in some, did they put in some new tracks?
I'm pretty sure there's very few tracks that they weren't able to get back. There might be one or two, and there are new tracks as well as there are new skaters, and there are multiple variations for the older ones. Like there's ones that are more of the time, and then there's like more current character models, and a lot of new skaters in general, like Tony Hawk's son Riley Hawk is in the game. There's cool shit in there.
I mean, goddamn. I love a good Tony Hawk. Who would have thunk that Tony Hawk would bring the world together?
The Birdman's back.
Again? Yeah, Birdhouse. Skating culture back in the day of the early 2000s or late 90s, it was so fun. I would be wearing Birdhouse shirts. I remember Vinny, our friend, was a big fan of Element.
Yeah.
You were a big fan of Element.
Big time.
A lot of people were into Element because of Bam Margera before he had his whole thing, but goddamn, there was such like that rare period where everybody was getting into boarding, and yep. I remember when I first did a fucking ollie, I felt incredible. I was like, tomorrow's Tony Hawk, baby.
You know what's crazy is, it's funny, Vinny and I were up late the first night this came out, playing it and doing the multiplayer and stuff, and we were actually like talking about that and being like, you know, when I'm playing shit like this, it makes me miss when we used to like actually skateboard. And the main thing I came away missing from it, I just go, dude, I used to have great calves. <It's>
like, my calves were fucking immaculate, chiseled. No, I remember being in front of Anthony's house at the time, trying to just do an ollie, and
I was there
skateboards
that day. I remember.
Were everything. Yeah, skateboards were everything. So when I was younger too, for Christmas, my mother had got me a Dragon Ball Z deck from Toys R Us, and I was over the fuck. It had Trunks on it. I was
so
over
you
the
knew moon. It was 90s chic baller.
Well, I couldn't even. You realize after a while, you realize how much work and effort was done into doing a kickflip, and I was thinking, oh, fuck that. I was like, can't do it. I wanted to do a Christ Air by like day one.
I remember one of my most infamous board breaks was Christmas some year when we were in like ninth grade or something. I got this like expensive element deck I wanted, and me and Vinny went out on Christmas Day, like later in the evening, to where the old HSBC bank was to skate the stairs there, because, you know, it was a holiday and no one was going to be around to tell us to get off. And we're trying to, like, we waxed the stairs and we were trying to board slide it, and like 10 minutes in, I snapped the deck in half board sliding.
You just cried.
I was like, this is my fucking life now.
This is my life now. No, I remember getting, because I had like a third party board, and the ones from Toys R Us, but you guys started teaching me more about like the legitimate boards.
Like, yeah, and putting stuff like together.
A real element board or real birdhouse board or something like that. And then, yeah, like customizing the wheels. What was that store?
Zoomies.
Not only Zoomies. It was, there was Zoomies
Pacific Coast we went to.
You
a
know
lot,
the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was that, that's in the town. Yeah. I think it's still there, the surf store. Yeah, and, had long boards and all that. They had the decks in the window. And I would always remember we passed by, and I'm like, damn, I should just, like, get one for Christmas.
It was Sundown Ski and Surf. We used to go there all the time.
There you go, Sundown, yeah. And I just never ended up getting one because I don't think I could. I think deep down after I realized just how much I didn't want to dedicate time to doing it, I was like, nah, couldn't do it. Leave it to the professionals. And I remember the ramp that you guys had, like the plastic black ramps.
That we broke through eventually.
Very small. Yeah. I fell off of that so many times, scared the shit out of me. The weight distribution of it all, I could not get it. Just couldn't get it down.
It was...
Grinding itself was also just impossible.
Grinding was very... I would never go far, and the most I could really manage was like a board slide. But the thing is, with the kind of rails and stairs we were using, if you didn't distribute your weight perfectly, you were going to snap the board doing a board slide.
Yeah. Yeah. True. And if I just... kept up with it as anybody, you know, maybe things could change.
We could have gone pro, man. I had a lot of fun back in the day.
I was fine with when we got into long.
That was more about getting around, but it was still fun.
That was more my speed, yeah. I was able to chill.
That was when we had those backpacks with board locks, and we used to longboard to a place with a skateboard on the board locks, get off the longboard, and actually skateboard at a place.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a blast. So I'm glad to see that skating is alive and well. And I oh shit, it's already been an hour, Rich.
Should I go into the drop?
Okay. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, let's go into the drop.
Here are the fantastic.
There's one game that I'm really hyped for.
Games that are coming to you this coming week. The Outer Worlds Peril on Gorgon DLC comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, September 9th.
This is the first legitimate one of DLC,
yeah, this
right?
This is the first expansion release for Outer Worlds. Okay. Borderlands 3, Psycho Krieg, and the Fantastic Fuster Cluck DLC comes to PC, PS4, and Xbox One on September 10th.
I hate
me too.
Them.
This is the last expansion for Borderlands 3.
Could let it die.
Bounty Goodbye. Battle comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on September 10th. Hotshot Racing comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on September 10th. Astronauts comes to PC on September 9th. Redneck Ed Astro Monster Show comes to PC on September 10th. Vampire the Masquerade Shadows of New York comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on September 10th. Inertial Drift comes to PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch September 11th. BPM comes to PC on September 15th. eFootball PES 2021 Season Update hits PC, PS4, Xbox One September 15th. The Biggin Spelunky 2 comes to PS4 September 15th, and Vaporum Lockdown comes to PC on September 15th.
Oh, I am really ready for Spelunky 2. I'm ready for Spelunky 2. It's only PS4. Interesting. You want to play Spelunky?
Yeah,
it's multiplayer.
I'll gladly play some Spelunky with you.
Oh, absolutely. I can't. I'm going to lose my shit. I'm going to get so mad. Spelunky 1 got me so upset so many times. Yeah, Spelunky 1 got me so upset so many times. I remember earlier I was playing, I think I talked about this once on an earlier episode. I played the Steam controller with Steam Share between the family sharing to play Spelunky 1. The game still got me upset within like 20 minutes. It's just a game. It was conspiring against you. I felt like I was playing La Mulan on like a nice little cartoony version of it. Sucked. Made me mad. But that game is so addicting.
Time to
so
kill the shopkeep.
I know, I've been following the dev on Twitter for quite some time. So I'm actually really excited to see it, because I've seen a lot of the different assets that they've been creating art-wise and just some of the gameplay additions they've been making, and it's just been hyping me up over time. I almost forgot about it until I saw it was on the release radar, and I'm like, oh, fuck, it's here. Other than that, let me see.
We covered a lot of our bigger topics in the meat of the show.
I mean, yeah, because that happens. I wonder if this got a lot of publicity. Lab Zero Studios, which was the development studio behind Skullgirls, I think like a few weeks ago, I remember reading this. I didn't talk to you about it, I forgot. But a good number of the Dead team just left and quit their job because the owner, Mike Zimon, I think I pronounced it, he was just an absolute shit heel. And he just was not a good person to be around. And keep in mind, folks, this is still in like the height of people finding out that members of the game industry are total assholes. And
just like us.
Yeah, who'd have thunk it? And this apparently was no different. And this dude, Mike, he, over the years, had been really just an inappropriate kind of owner, made stupid decisions, said stupid things, and was ultimately a harasser in certain cases, too.
Sounds like an all-around shit.
Enough was enough with the Dead. Well, you know, it was interesting. I've read some accounts from the Dead teams, and you know what? They've apparently given him so many chances to, and they've confronted him because he was just genuinely inappropriate.
Because I'm sure they cared about the work they were doing, regardless of that, and were trying to power. Because they've made some fantastic fucking games.
Right, and their rationale was a rationale that often we, as we're you're growing up, you start to apply to people before you realize, like, fuck them. It's, oh, well, you know, they're a jerk, but they're a good person.
Deep down, he's a good guy. We'll talk to him, we'll figure it out. But eventually, there's certain people you stop making those excuses for.
Yeah, he just refused to do anything. And I think they gave him the ultimatum, like, we want you to leave at this point. You, over the years, you clearly have lied and did not follow up on making right, and you don't intend to. And he just would not step down. He just did not leave. So Dev team left, and then I just read the story recently, it was a few days ago, the rest of the staff was also laid off because the exodus was just too great. I think they're a relatively small studio, but talk about just like blowing up your company just for your own stupid stubborn pride.
Yeah, it's completely so wild.
Like, fuck them. The Nintendo eShop, did you just update my...
You know what it was? It's totally...
Are you kidding me? Out.
This is totally a me thing. It was bugging me so much.
Isn't it called the eShop with a lowercase
it
e?
Is, it is, but it was still bugging me.
How dare you? I had a lowercase e in eShop, and I just saw Rich on the Google Doc making a capital E. He just had to. I don't blame you. So Nintendo actually updated their eShop policy, which was surprising because I almost forgot that they don't do this. For pre-orders, if you're going to pre-order a game, like, say, the upcoming 3D All-Stars, you can actually cancel your pre-order up until a week prior to launch. That's not something that Nintendo has ever done, to my knowledge, with digital pre-orders.
Yeah, no, they haven't.
So I think that was actually pretty
cool. For the record, a lot of people...
Because now if you just regret it...
I think this is uncommon. Sony has always allowed you to do that. You just kind of have to jump through hoops and go to their website to do it. Interestingly enough, with any Sony purchase, not just pre-orders, as long as you haven't launched the game, you can get a refund.
I think I still think Valve and Steam, they've even though they are
a hub made refunds the easiest
that distributes their games rather than Nintendo directly giving you their game. I think they've always done it the best. Their refund policies
they've
always
made refunds
been
the easiest because you could literally be like, I shouldn't have bought this. I'm an idiot, and they'll let you.
Yeah, up to 2 hours post purchase, or you can just can't. It's unbeatable, and I'm sure obviously with the direct to consumer market model, you don't want to do that, but it really opens up my purchasing decisions here. You know, I don't want to make mistakes all the time or just buy something and be committed to it. So I thought that was pretty cool. We were talking about CD Projekt Greg. This was a game that released, the only reason why I even wrote it here, Necromunda Underhive Wars releases today. I actually think it releases, like, now. It had such a weird cycle of release date timing. Mm-hmm. It says it plans to unlock in less than an hour. So I don't even know. I don't even know what kind of schedule that fucking was. This is just a tabletop implementation. The only reason why I was even bringing it up is because I didn't think that this was coming out. But it's a Warhammer type of game. It's in real life with tabletop.
It's got a look.
Has a bunch of models. It's basically like a cyberpunky, steampunky, futuristic shooter or army game. where it's in the Warhammer 40K universe, but instead of being in the glorious battlefields with, like, wearing paladin armor, ultramarine, or space marine armor, these are supposed to be, like, the scum of the scum and the gangs. I always think of it more of akin to, say, like, Judge Dredd gangs.
It seems to be, like, gang wars literally underneath a
city. Yeah, they have, like, they have futuristic weapons, but they're, like, battling for their right for the Underhive, to be the rulers of the Underhive, which is just literally, like, just, like, the slums, like, the technical slums of the world. So you just battle other gangs of different factions, and you play. The gameplay that I can finally tell is kind of like XCOM, but they literally directly implemented the tabletop game into a digital format, which I'm actually kind of interested in. Just because there's a lot of minutia with these types of games, and if you don't have all the
like
books,
like literally
and all the rules
in the menus,
that,
it looks like you're looking at minis, but they're like breathing and moving.
Yeah, and even the stats, like the dice and the roll, like it's all there still. But the whole thing with Necromunda back in the day was that unlike Warhammer, which is a battlefield and you have different pieces of plastic around to kind of make your field and give it life. Necromunda, I think, introduced a 3D or three-dimensional gameplay to itself, where it wasn't just going one direction against each other. It was you could scale upward, you could build these structures and buildings that you can go up and down on. And they had like multi-story levels. Like some of the modeling that I've seen people create for this game have been unreal. So it kind of made sense that this game also did the same. And it's kind of like XCOM in the sense that you can direct your guys, or rather it's kind of like Valkyria Chronicles, where you can move your guy in third person up until a certain limit, and then that's your movement for the game, and then you can actively like point your reticles and shoot at people depending if it goes into range. But my whole deal, the only reason why I was bringing this up, is because this had such a strange release to itself, where all the I'm kind of cautiously waiting to see a bunch of reviews on this, because this was made by Rogue Factor and then Focus Home Interactive was publishing it. They did not show a gameplay video for this game until the 2nd, which was 5 days ago.
That's strange.
So they showed trailers, which the graphics look
good. Yeah, it's got a good look.
But it was a cinematic trailer. But they never showed you the gameplay trailers. Never showed you demos. They didn't show you shit. So all the red flags were all there for me, where I'm thinking, great, it's another Warhammer implementation of a game that just blows and they just can't help themselves. But I watched some of the gameplay. I'm kind of interested. I'm going to see how it goes, because I've always wanted to get into this physically. I just never could. I actually have Necromunda Underhive in my closet right now. I just never... I played it, I think, once. But the scene for this game is, you need to find like people who are specifically into this, and even on the shops, there's not a lot. So if it ends up doing well, it's already on the Steam top seller list, actually. So I'm kind of cool with that, because I've seen a lot of games that released that didn't even break the top 10. So I'm hoping that this audience is going to be bigger, because if it ends up getting a good sizable player base,
seems
I may
like
get
one to
it,
keep an eye on,
because I like, yeah, just for the tabletop-y fans around. But the red flags are there. I didn't see shit about this until 5 days ago. You know, for all intents and purposes, the rules of the purchaser buyer's guide for gaming usually says if you don't see a whiff of this, you shouldn't get it.
We can't overwhelm ourselves. In approximately 23 days, we're going to be playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Is it really 23 days already?
September 30th, baby.
Oh my god. It's not enough time. No. I shit you not, man. September 1st, when that hit last week, I had to do like triple takes on the calendar, because I was feeling a certain type of way where I was just thinking, no, it can't be. It cannot be September. And it is. It's already, we are three months from Christmas. We are 2 months. I'm sorry. I got it. It's got to be said. We are 3 months until Christmas. We are 2 months until, we are about a month or so until October. Then you got Halloween. And it's going to be a virtual Halloween. It's going to be a virtual Thanksgiving, virtual Christmas, COVID Christmas.
COVID Christmas, baby.
I'm so endlessly curious to just see how low the sales are going to be for Christmas shopping. Or high, maybe.
We need to go to a Christmas cabin, Eric. I need to get out of the fucking house.
I know, but it's already... I know, I'm praying that by... first of all, it's becoming even more and more relevant that by 2021, like mid-year... That's when things will start to... It's becoming more of a realistic reality for myself now. I don't know, Rich. We'll get through it. You know what? We got Baldur's Gate. We got Baldur's Gate. We got Tony Hawk.
It's going to be all right.
Things happen. I'll read a fucking book.
I read books all the time.
Hey, everybody, for listening at home, we care about you. But
don't forget.
Thanks for listening. We hope we make your quarantines at least a little bit more.
And don't forget, you have until March 31st to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, where you will delist our entire library.
On March 31st.
You could, unless you do donate $500.
You could pre-order the physical edition. It comes on a floppy disk.
I'll ship myself. I don't even care. We'll do human traffic. I'll ship myself.
I don't know if that's...
I'll show up at your door.
Human trafficking.
I'm clean. So okay. Feel free. But Rich, with all that said, let's
clean house. Thanks to Ed Biquette for our wonderful intro and Heather Ramos for our artwork. Ask us questions, GekkoGamesPodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter. I am at TheRichmeister0, and you, of course, are at Beautiful_Eric. Until next time, it's been our pleasure. Let's take a walk. Let's retreat to the Underhive.
All right. I'll do that.